Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Bulls Beat Podcast Show, the Chicago Bulls Podcast.
Welcome back to the Bulls Beat Bulls fans. Doug Tonis here with you discussing our Chicago Bulls, and they've received an offer sheet on Zach LaVine from the Sacramento Kings. 4 years, $78 million seems to be the basic rumor, $19.5 million per year flat. And it appears that the Bulls will match this offer sheet. That is what has been reported, and it's not entirely official just yet at the time I record this, but I think we kind of know what's going to be official. I think one of the things that's interesting about this is the Bulls matched immediately, or said they're going to match immediately. And I think that was basically get the news out to the fans, trying to end any public debate about whether this is a good idea. If you're a Bulls fan, then I think you tend, if you're a happy fan, you tend to try to align yourself with whatever the organization does and feel good about it. So for those fans that will act in such a manner, getting the news out there quickly, we'll stop the debate about whether they should or shouldn't and get people starting to think, well, they are, and Zach's going to be here, and Zach's our guy, and we should root for Zach. So let's say nice things about him, and it'll maybe give a little bit more positive spin to the news. This is more money than I wanted to pay for Zach LaVine. It's not a ton more. I mean, I think I have my upper limit of being around $18 million, so we're $1.5 million above that, and that's not the worst ever. And Zach will need to just become a very good player for this deal to work out. So I don't think that's necessarily likely. There's a lot of reasons why I'm nervous about that. His play last year was very poor. I get all the reasons why you could expect that and think it's okay. It makes sense to me, right? I mean, he was coming off the ACL. He's still a very young player. He came into the league extremely raw, and so he's still developing. And he has some good skill sets. He needs a lot of the awareness, both offensively and defensively, is what he's missing. Kind of reminds me of the guard version of Tyrus Thomas, a guy with a lot of athleticism, a guy with a lot of skills, a guy with not enough awareness and doesn't seem to know how to play the game correctly. And so he'll need to work on those things. And at his age, there's no reason for me to think he can't improve his defense. There's no reason for me to think he can't become a good offensive player again. He did look athletic enough. And for this deal, you're really looking for Zach to become, we'll say, a top 50, top 60 player, something like that. I mean, and when you say that, it sounds like, well, that should be easy. When you think about it, though, there's 30 teams in the league, so a top 60 player would be like the second best guy in a team if the talent was distributed reasonably evenly throughout the NBA. And so I do think it's not quite so simple, but if he becomes, you know, a top 60 player and he becomes that type of guy, then I think this money is easily worth it. So when you think about it, the free agent deals that the Bulls would sign next year are going to be roughly twice this size and value if they were to go for the cap space route and try and sign two max guys. So say you want to get Jimmy Butler next year, he's effectively going to cost you two Zach LaVines. And so Zach needs to become very good. But he doesn't need to become great. He doesn't need to become elite. He doesn't even need to become an all-star for this to be an okay deal. He needs to become a guy who's sort of in the mix to kind of maybe be an all-star one day. You know, this is like Luol Deng money. And so I think that's, you know, within reason. It's within striking distance. So now if you ask me if I would match this deal, my answer would probably be no, because I don't believe in Zach LaVine. And I think without Zach, you probably are in for another rough season. But I think I'm okay with that. I think I'd be okay with, you know, even with the reduced odds of trying to get another draft pick and seeing where things go next year and having room for two free agents. I did put forth the double max free agent plan, and this signing makes that plan very difficult. It doesn't make it impossible. There's still ways the Bulls can work this out. Now, I want to go through the Bulls' future cap space. I've been running all kinds of different numbers today, and it does depend a lot on various things they can do, and so we'll wait to see what happens. But let's just assume for a moment that the Bulls waive and stretch Omer Sheik. I think that's likely that they would do such a thing. And then let's assume they sign, you know, their rookies and whatnot this year, which I think may have officially been done already, but it was a no-brainer. So then going into next year with the roster as is, they have about $42 million of cap space. They can reduce Cristiano Felicio's number from $8.15 million to about $3.2 million by waiving and stretching him. if I'm not mistaken. I should just run that through the calculator real quick just to make sure I'm not crazy. Yeah, $3.13 million. So they can save $5 million of cap room by waiving and stretching Felicio, which is a, you know, a savings that gets them up to $47 million. They can then renounce Portis to get another $7.4 million, which now gets you up to in the $50 million range of cap space. If they trade their pick, they save whatever the value of their pick is right now. And on Sham Sports in the calculator, it is slotted at pick number 7 because that's where they drafted this year. It'll probably be not that good a pick next year, but that'll save them however much money that is. Right now, that $42 million assumes that pick is sitting at a $5.2 million cap hold. So that will save them that money. And then if they can trade Denzel Valentine, they'll save another $3 million if they can trade him for no cap room. If they can do all of those things, they get to around $60 million of cap room. If they can trade that 2019 pick and Valentine for and Felicio for nothing, which seems like, depending where the pick is probably pretty reasonable, there'll be a lot of good teams, a lot of teams with cap room next year who may be looking to take future assets like Valentine, still in the final year of his rookie deal, and a guy with a four-year rookie contract coming up, just to take on the final 2 years of Cristiano Felicio's contract. And the Bulls could even throw in cash if they needed to make that type of deal work. So they're paying, you know, a good chunk of that salary, and all of a sudden that becomes a pretty good deal for another team. If they can do that, they can still get up to room for two max free agents next year, assuming that the cap stays around $109 million and they don't sign anyone else this year that impacts the 2019 salary. So that would give them a core of Zach LaVine, Chris Dunn, Lauri Markkanen, Wendell Carter Jr., Chandler Hutchison, and two max free agents, and then they would still have the room exception to get someone else, and then that minimum guys to fill out the rest of the roster. They'd have to give up on Valentine Portis, their 2019 pick, to make that happen. And so if you can do that, and I've been noting this plan on Twitter a couple of times, if you could convince Jimmy Butler to come here and you convince Kyrie Irving to come here, then you add those guys to that core. That is a damn deadly core. That is an incredible core. You all of a sudden have at the one, Kyrie Irving, at the two, Zach LaVine or Jimmy Butler, at the three, the other guy, at the four, Lowry, at the five, Wendell Carter Jr. That is a just terrible lineup to try and defend, right? I mean, that's, if these guys all do what you expect them to do, that's five guys who can shoot the three. You know, you've got three, four guys who can take guys off the dribble. You got a couple guys who will be able to play in the post. I mean, you could just do magic with that offensive lineup. It would just be unbelievable. You'd have probably, what, four guys, five guys maybe who could create their own shot. Everyone would be a playmaker. I mean, that would just be a really, really deadly, deadly lineup. So I think that would be very intriguing. And then coming off the bench, you'd still have Chris Dunn and Chandler Hutchison. So I gotta say Hutchison. I do keep wanting to call him Hutchison. Terrible for me. But I think if you could do that, and you have to hope then that Carter Jr. and Hutchison pay off into good players, that would be a team that would just really be a top three team in the East. I think they are in the league and clearly the best team in the East, barring something crazy happening. I think that would be very exciting. So if you believe the reports that Jimmy Butler and Kyrie Irving want to play together, it's difficult to imagine a scenario where they can go to a team that's better than the Bulls this year. Now, a big thing that will have to happen this year is the Bulls will need to prove that that's true. They'll need to prove that's true by having a good season. So if the Bulls can crank out 40-something wins this year and basically come back with the same core next year except adding two max guys, then those guys might have some pretty good incentive to come here. And the Bulls will have a lot more talent for those guys to join than any other team they can join if they want to play together and if they want to play in the East. So that was the rumor, right? Jimmy Butler and Kyrie Irving want to play in the East and rule the East. Neither of them wants to go West. Everyone is in the West. And so that rules out, you know, someone joining the Lakers. And Kawhi apparently wants to join the Lakers. So these guys want to say, hey, let's just rule the East. Let's LeBron this thing. Let's just stay in the weak-ass conference and, you know, just hope we can take out one team in the finals. And so what else could you guys do? You can't go to Philadelphia. They don't have enough cap room for two guys. New York doesn't have enough cap room for two guys unless they can find a taker for Tim Hardaway Jr. and a bunch of their other contracts. And maybe New York could make that happen. You could basically enter in New York with those two plus Porzingis and like almost nothing else on the roster. And that might be similar to what someone might think the Bulls are. We'll have to see what happens this year. But my expectation is that this year you've got Porzingis coming off of a torn ACL. Who knows what he's going to show by the end of the year. Lauri Markkanen is going to look like a better prospect going forward than Porzingis at the end of this season. Now, that may or may not be true in the long run, depending how Porzingis heals from the ACL, but he'll look like that. And so, and the Bulls will have a ton of other talent around them. You know, you have to assume at this point that Carter Jr. becomes what we expect to be a pretty good player. I think Carter Jr. has an excellent chance to win the Rookie of the Year this year. I mean, we'll see how things go, but he comes in as one of the more mature, high talent, high ceiling players in the league. So maybe that's putting a little bit too much pressure on him, but I think he'll have a shot at it. I think he'll be a top five rookie for sure and someone who shows a lot of potential. So I think the Bulls still have some chance to pull that off. We'll see what they do. I'm really hoping at this point they don't take on any additional salary. So one move that actually helps them in this plan, and I think would be an outstanding move and maybe helps another team, is you trade Omer Asik to the Oklahoma City Thunder for Carmelo Anthony. And while you do that, you know, Anthony obviously agrees to a buyout as part of this deal and probably only gives back like whatever the vet minimum for him is, like $1.5 million or something. And he agrees to a buyout. And then the Oklahoma City Thunder, they stretch Asik, which gets his salary down to $2.8 million. And that saves them far more money than taking Anthony and stretching him. And it saves them probably about as much money as they can get anywhere else, maybe more money than they can save anywhere else. So it becomes a decent deal. Now, from the Bulls' perspective, they end up paying $3 million and $11 million for Asik this year. They move that into Anthony's money, which, depending where the buyout is, maybe ends up around, say, $26 million. So they're on the hook for an extra $14 million. So the Oklahoma City Thunder have to give the Bulls something to compensate for that. Who knows what that something will be? And I think that's the tricky thing. I do think the Thunder, I mean, they know they have to give up something, right, for someone to take on Carmelo's huge amount of money. They know they have to give out something. They've already agreed they're going to get rid of him. So the worst case is they're going to waive him. But they haven't waived and stretched him yet, which means they're negotiating to give out something for Melo. And I believe they owe one of these like sort of conditional picks to someone, which screws up all of the pick trading possibilities they can have over the next couple years. So we'll have to wait to see how all of that turns out. But the Thunder will probably give up some type of first for him. And if I'm the Bulls, I just take whatever first I can get, even if it's a longer one. Give me your 2023 unprotected first round pick, you know, for this deal, or, you know, 2023 lottery protected, and then 2024 unprotected, whatever. Take some future way out their asset for it, you know, get one of these picks that's out in the future. It eventually comes due and then it helps you. So I think that's fine, because the deal is for you, it's helping you in the long run too. You're now shaving $1 million off your cap for the next 3 years after this year. And so if you do play this cap space game next year, that $1 million might be pretty close to a difference maker, depending where the cap falls. It's expected to be at 108, but so you save, or should say it's expected to be at 109, I think now. If you save $1 million and the cap comes in at, say, 112 or something, all of a sudden you don't need to dump Felicio. You can just stretch him and you can now fit these guys in. And then you do need to trade your 2019 first and Valentine, or you maybe need to dump Felicio and just trade one of those things. So you might be able to keep an extra asset, or you might be able to trade those things for value rather than using them to dump Felicio. And so now I trade my 2019 first for a 2021 unprotected first, trade Valentine just into someone's cap space for a future second rounder or something like that, stretch Felicio, and now I have acquired a couple extra assets that can come due in the future rather than using those to make room. So all this assumes that the Bulls could go for this to free agent cap room plan, which I think is, for me, the ideal scenario. Now, I get the fact that people are going to say no one's going to come to the Bulls, Butler won't come back to the Bulls, Kyrie wouldn't come to the Bulls, Kawhi won't come, no one will ever come here. And that's fine. Maybe no one will come here. The thing is, you don't have to make all these moves like way in advance for this. The move of trading Asik, you know, it helps you regardless, because you're going to get some type of asset and you're going to actually clean your books by a very teeny amount next year no matter what. So that's just a good move to make here no matter what. Every other move, you just wait until the offseason, wait to see if someone signs you for you, and if they do, then great, and if they don't, then You just use that cap room to make whatever smart acquisitions you can. Maybe try and take on contracts for bad salary for other teams. Like, say, New York at this point, if they're trying to do a double free agent cap space plan, they'll need to free up some salary. So you could take on, you know, free agents for them. Now, it, you know, kind of kills you to take on guys from New York to help them do the same dream that I want to do. But in the end, you always have to just take what you can get, and you try and get those future deals. So I think the Bulls are in position to make a lot of things happen next year. You still feel pretty good about this core, at least I do. You know, the worst case scenario for this team is kind of what we've talked about all offseason long, is that you're building around Lowry, a good prospect in this year's draft, Dunn and LaVine, and Portis still has potential to break out and be a very good player this year. So you've still got a lot of young, talented assets on this team, a lot of guys who can grow. I think this team is still in shape to probably win 40 games this year. It will definitely require LaVine to come in and play really well, but I think the Bulls can do that. And if he does play really well, I think this season really comes down to Zach, and our future really comes down to Zach in a lot of ways. If Zach does play really well for the Bulls this year, he does have a comeback season, and he does get better on defense. And these are all things that maybe aren't, if I were to say 50-50 likelihood, I'd say maybe they're probably more likely than not, but they're not like 10% chance. It's not like he's 28 and I'm hoping this happens. I think there's still at least, like, you know, close to a 50% chance these things happen. If these things happen and Zach does pan out and the Bulls do win 40 or so games, then it actually makes the two free agent summer much more likely. I mean, I think they're close enough to that line that it will not be difficult to push them over the edge if they need to. Plus, if one of those guys is Kyrie Irving, I think you can give up Chris Dunn. You could work this into a sign-in trade. You know, there's things you could do that would make this work for everyone. And I think a deal could get done that will make it happen. So we'll wait to see how all of this works out for each of the teams involved. And looking next year, there'll be a good amount of teams with free agent money next year, but not a lot of teams that can take two guys. So if that rumor of Jimmy and Kyrie wanting to play together is true, there won't be many options. And if you're one of them and you have a 40-win record and you're in the East, I think you have a good shot. And now, I guess for some people, they might say, would I even want that? You know, Kyrie Irving hasn't been super healthy. Jimmy Butler had the meniscus tear last year. Both of these guys will be on monster deals. Both will be kind of towards the end of their prime. And so maybe I don't think this team is going to last real long, and I think they have a short window. And I would say, yes, you're right about all of those things. There's huge, huge risk with that plan. Huge risk. At the same time, I think it's a risk you just take. I mean, I think you take it, you try it, you hope for the best. This would be like the Rockets building around James Harden and Chris Paul, except that the Bulls would have a superior cast around them. You get two great players. They both maybe have a short window. There's a fair chance at the end of this timeline that, you know, last year both of these guys will be on bad deals. But I think you could feel good about competing with that team for 3 years. The nice thing about the NBA right now is that these four-year deals mean you're never so far away from rebuilding no matter what you do. So if I look at these guys and say, yep, they've got a four-year window, I'm okay with that. And plus, from a contract perspective, you might think, wow, the Bulls are just going to be screwed. They're going to have all this money. How are they going to afford this? Really, LaVine locked in at $19.5 million isn't so crazy. They'll have to probably max Lowry. So if you start thinking like Lowry is going to be making $26 million, $27 million around this time, and those guys will be making $30 and the cap will be up around $115 or something, you start adding up all of the salaries and you get down to your big four guys there will probably take up about like $110 million or so. And so if you have that, and the luxury tax is now sitting at like $135 million, you still have a good amount of room under there for a few extra prospects. And you have to assume if the Bulls are good, and with this type of team they would be, they will pay the tax. They show they would pay it at least the 1 year. And so as long as they're good, I think they will pay it. And they won't be paying a huge, huge amount of it either. So I think there's definitely quite a bit of room for the Bulls to fit all of that in. You might not sign Chris Dunn to an extension in this case. But if you have Kyrie Irving, Chris Dunn maybe becomes a luxury. Or Chris Dunn maybe isn't a guy who breaks out the way you think he does, and his extension isn't that big. Like, if you had to sign Chris Dunn to an extension now, you're not looking at like $18 million a year for Chris Dunn. You're looking at like, you know, $5 or $6 million a year. So I think you can replace Dunn unless he becomes a star. But if he does become a star, then boy, is your team just absolutely stacked. So I think there's a lot of room for the Bulls to fit all of this in salary-wise either, because you still have Wendell Carter Jr. for four more years cheap. So he's only up for an extension on the final year of the Kyrie and Butler deal, in which case, you know, you might have to make some decisions about tax and other things in, but that's a problem you can put off. So I think this is something where you can fit everyone in as well, and it'll work out salary-wise in a way that's reasonable going forward for the next 4 years too, and still be able to fit Lowry in under that extension and not have to lose anyone else. So I think this is a deal that you would try. You'd see how it goes if you can make it happen, which obviously is a huge if. I'd say, you know, so still, even though I talked about why it might be the best fit for everyone and it fits these things, you know, we're basing this off rumors of rumors that Jimmy and Kyrie want to play together and that it has to be in the East. You know, that like it seems a little, you know, and they may find some other way to make it happen somewhere else. Who knows? I've also heard Kyrie wants to be in New York, so they'll definitely have cap room, and maybe New York can figure out a way to get Butler as well, and maybe that's where everything goes down. So who knows? But I think if you can get that plan to work, you have to try it. You just have to. It's a team that could win a title. I don't think they'd be the favorite to win a title, but if you get to the point where Golden State has now won, you know, 5 of the past 6 years or whatever else, and they're bored, this is a team that would come in and give them a true challenge. And we've seen Golden State be a team that can crumble sometimes, that isn't mentally tough. And I think the Bulls team would be hungrier and have a lot of mental toughness, and I think they would really be able to make something happen. So that's still my super optimistic pie in the sky best plan for 2019 that I think now becomes a little bit more difficult. And I think this offer sheet killed us a little bit. If we could have got Zach LaVine, I'd say $2.5 million less, if you could have got him around like $17 million, $16 million, it would have been so much easier to make all this happen, because you wouldn't have to dump Felicio. You could just stretch him, and I think the same plan would have been great. So curse you, Sacramento. The other thing about this I'm going to say is I kind of feel like the Kings didn't really want Zach. I think the Kings wanted to pull the Bulls cap space off the table. I think they looked at this as a way of saying, I think the Bulls have to match this. They're not going to lose this guy. If we make this offer, they will match it. And so we're just going to throw it out there. We'll take their cap room off the table. And now there's only a couple teams left that can bid for people. The Bulls do still have a decent amount of free agent money left. When I did my calculations on the Sham Sports Capulator, and if you ever want to do cap calculations, go to Sham Sports, look at the Capulator. Amazing tool. It takes a few minutes to figure out how to use it, but just absolutely amazing for figuring out all your salary cap stuff. So can't recommend that enough. But using the calculator there, I still show the Bulls getting up to around $18 million of free agent money this year if they want to spend on someone else. I think you still try to use this money to bring on assets for taking on bad contracts if you can. There's going to actually be not a lot of great assets coming back for bad contracts, because there's only two teams, I think, really looking to dump salary. It would be Denver and Oklahoma City, and there's three teams looking to take on salary between us, Atlanta, and Sacramento. So without a lot of options there, I think it's going to be difficult to take on that salary and do something, get something really appealing. But for me, the best deal out there is trading Omer Sheik for Carmelo Anthony. I think that's probably the most savings that Oklahoma City can get out there. So I think that becomes a good deal for them. And like I mentioned earlier, so I hope the Bulls can make that one work. It helps the Bulls out in the future as well, and gets an asset and cleans up our books. So it's just a win-win-win for everyone around. So hopefully that deal can go down, but we will wait to see what happens the rest of this offseason. That'll do it for this edition of the Bulls Beat. Hopefully I'll catch you guys on the big red bus again soon, and we'll talk to you next week.